It is good to see everyone this morning on this August 27th, 2023. We are going to be in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25, and I'm going to tie it back in to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, where we have been for about 3 or 4 weeks. So that's the fascinating thing about the book of Hebrews. It all ties together, and it really all ties back to those first four verses in the introduction of this most powerful, powerful book. So we're going to dive in. I'm going to pray, and we're going to let the Holy Spirit guide us and lead us today in a very personal message. It's very personal to each and every one of us. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25, it says this: "See that you refuse not him that speaks to you. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven." And this is a comparison between Moses and Jesus and the Word of God and the message through the mediator of the new covenant in verse 24, Jesus, and then his blood speaks better things than that of Abel. We're going to study that in the weeks ahead. But today we're just going to study one section, verse 25a. "See that you refuse not him that speaks unto you." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I come today, and I confess that daily, weekly sin I try to bring before you. Father, Isaiah calls it filth, and that's what it is. As I confess these things out loud, as 1 John says, to confess them out loud and unto you, and that's what I try to do. I want to thank you that I'm cleansed by your blood. I need to be cleansed by your blood. Now I pray to be anointed by and filled by your Spirit to teach the Word of God in humility, to wash the feet as a servant of those that are listening. Father, I believe your Word helps us tremendously. It helps me tremendously. It helps all of us tremendously. And as we've sung these songs today, Lord, we can't make it without you. Nothing compares to having you in our lives. So Holy Spirit, take over and let everyone in this place know, and everyone that'll listen on this website, Father, you desire to speak to us. And Father, help us. Help us to hear you when you speak. Help us to respond unto you when you speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, you're going to see in this study today, in verse 25, "See that you refuse not him that speaks." I want you to understand, when it comes to us and the voice of God, we exercise free will. You can choose to receive, accept, and respond to what God says to you, or you can choose to refuse, reject, and turn away from it. So this is very, very personal. We're going to look at personal experiences in the Word of God with the voice of God. But I want you to stay right there in verse 25, and I'm going to repeat to you what you're very familiar with in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, and tie it in here, because you can do that throughout this entire book with a lot of stuff. But you remember what we've been studying the last 3 or 4 weeks in Hebrews 1. It says this: "God, who in times past spoke unto us by his prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son." And then, bam! "See that you refuse not him that speaks." Who is him? God. "Refuse not God, who is speaking unto you." And I want to grab that first phrase, "see that you." That phrase makes it very personal. In the Greek, it could say, you need to take heed. that you refuse not God when He speaks unto you. Or it means to place full priority upon hearing the voice of God as He speaks unto you. Let me pray with you. Father, we hear an emergency vehicle going by now. I pray right now for those that are responding, your protection on our first responders, our policemen, firemen, EMTs, we're so blessed to have. And I pray, Lord Jesus, for the situation that they're going to, for healing and protection. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, in your name. Amen. Now, what I want you to understand is that as this voice comes from heaven, we're going to look at it in a few moments, we are to refuse not, don't reject, don't turn away from. Now, I want to give you a little principle right as we begin. If you're in here saved, I don't want you to raise your hand. If you're listening on the website and you're saved, I'm going to tell you something about yourself. And if you're lost, I'm going to tell you something about yourself. But I want to make this statement. Everyone who has ever been saved, there came a moment in your life when you heard the voice of God. And you said yes. Now, I'm not talking about an audible voice. I'm not saying folks nowadays don't hear an audible voice. I never have. But I'm talking about an inner voice. A conviction, a movement that is the voice of God. So anyone who has ever been saved, there came a moment in your life when you heard the voice of God and you said yes. I mean, you heard clearly, hey man, I'm lost. My sins are sending me to hell. I need Jesus. And Jesus is here and He's offering Himself to me. You heard that clearly in your heart and mind. And for everyone who is lost, there have been times in their life when they have heard the voice of God speaking to them about their condition, their reprobate condition, as I did. And you have said no. You've turned away from. You've rejected that voice. You've made an excuse. You've come up with something. So what I want you to understand, when it comes to hearing God, your free will at the moment of salvation and even after salvation is incredibly important, and you either choose to hear and believe, accept, receive, respond, or reject, renounce, and turn away from. So go with me to Matthew chapter 17. Now I'm going to take you through the scriptures and show you the voice of God. We've looked at it somewhat, and then we're going to apply it to the inner voice of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, at the Transfiguration, I shared with you this last week in verse 5, while He yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Hear the Son. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Before you ever get saved, you've got to hear God. You can't be saved without hearing the voice of God, without hearing the Word of God, without hearing a message from heaven that's presented unto us. Go with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 63, the scripture says this. It is the Spirit that gives life. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. It is the Spirit that gives us eternal life. The flesh, or works of the flesh, profit nothing. The words that I speak unto you, Jesus saying, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are eternal life. But there are some of you that believe not, so you have rejected Me. Go with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 45. The scripture says this, and because I tell you the truth, you believe Me not. Because I tell you the truth, You believe me not. I speak unto you the truth. Sometimes we don't want to hear the truth. We can't handle the truth. We run from the truth. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God hears God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. There were those that weren't seeking God. They weren't seeking God's will. They weren't seeking God's way. Now go with me to John chapter 18. He that is of God hears God's words. To hear the voice of God. Refuse not the voice, reject not him that speaks. Free will to believe and receive or reject or turn away from. So in John chapter 18, verse 37, Pilate says unto him before he's crucified for our sins, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, you say I am a king. But to this end and purpose I was born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness, that I should testify of the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. We wonder why so many in religion today can't understand doctrine, can't understand true doctrine. They've not taken the first step to come to Jesus and receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can teach you what you need to learn. When you're without the Holy Spirit, you don't have anything to teach you. You're studying the Word of God in the flesh, and the flesh profits nothing. So all these verses about the truth, about the Word of God, about hearing the Word of God, it's personal. And you have free will. Refuse not him that speaks unto you. Now, I want you to go, we're going to look at three verses in the Old Testament. First, go to Deuteronomy 18. And Moses is prophesying, and so much of what you read in the Gospels goes back to the verses I'm going to share with you right now. You'll read verses In the New Testament where some of the Jewish folks will say, no one has ever spoken with such authority. And their thing, are you the one Moses testified about? Well, it all goes back to this verse. But I want you to notice what is said here. In Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, it says this, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee. Of thy brethren, like unto me. He'll be likened unto Moses. Moses gave us the law. Jesus gives us grace. Like unto me, unto him shall you listen. Listen to what he says. Verse 18, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren. Like unto thee, Moses, and I will put my words in his mouth. And you shall speak of them all that I command him. And then he goes on to say in verse 19, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not listen unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Anytime you read the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus says, the law says, thou shalt not commit murder. But I say unto you, if you hate in your heart, you've committed murder. It goes back to these verses. Listen to what he says. He's going to take it to another level. Listen, listen, listen. Law of Moses says thou shalt not commit adultery physically. But I say unto you, if you lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. So understand, this is a pivotal verse in Deuteronomy, and it ties so much together, and you really get in touch with the Jewishness of the gospel and the beauty of all that. So the key was, hear the voice of Jesus when he comes. Now, I want to show you two examples in the New Testament of hearing the voice of God. Go with me to Genesis chapter 3. It's all about the voice of God, listening for the voice of God, hearing the voice of God. As he speaks to you personally. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve have sinned. And in verse 7, it says this. The eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And then they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, what does that mean? Cameron, it means they didn't see the pre-incarnate Christ walking first, but they heard his voice. What do you think the voice was saying? Adam, where are you, Adam? Eve, where are you, Eve? They heard the voice. And that's how personal it is. Praise God. From the Garden of Eden to August 2023, God still speaks to us personally. And so they heard the voice. And when they heard the voice, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto them again, Adam, where are you? Again. He'd already said it once. And Adam said, I heard your voice. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. That's number one. Many people hear the voice of God and they run and hide. There are times in your life when you've heard the voice of God and you've run and hide and hid. Times in my life and you put God off. And you make excuses. So it's still that personal. Leo, you need to do this. Leo, you need... I feel these impressions from God speaking to my heart and mind. You do the same. I'll get up tomorrow morning and I'll clearly hear from God the direction to go in for next Sunday morning. He'll develop it throughout the week. I don't often start something on Monday and totally change it on Thursday. It's just, it's a rhythm that the Holy Spirit guides you in. You want this in all areas of your life. You need to hear the voice of God. We are living in the most uncertain and unprecedented times ever in the history of the world. And so many are not telling you the truth. You've got to hear the Word of God. You've got to hear the voice of God if you want guidance and you want direction for your life. So they heard the voice of God and ran and hid. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 6 and let me show you the opposite. Someone in the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah's caught up into heaven. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, it says this, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train flowed and filled the temple out of, emanating light from the presence of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up. And then you come down to verse 8, and he says this, and also I heard the voice of the Lord. What an experience. He saw the Lord and he heard the voice of the Lord. And he heard the voice of the Lord say this, whom shall I send and who will go for us? He heard the voice of the Lord say, is there anybody that will go in my name and take my message to the people? And Isaiah said, I, here am I, send me. And the Lord said, go and tell this people. Here I am, Lord, send me. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You can either run and hide when the Lord speaks to you, or you can say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. Okay, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Okay, Lord, I'm going to seek your leadership. You can look back over your life and there are times when you have not noticed and God's been speaking to you. God's voice has been moving upon you and you're so busy and there's so much noise around you and so much loudness and you're listening to so many other individuals and different things. You're not hearing the voice of God. We need to be like Habakkuk in chapter 2, verse 1. Lord, I'm going to get alone. I'm going to set myself on the tower and watch, and I'm going to hear and listen for what the Lord will speak unto me. You've got to make this a daily part or a consistent part of your spiritual discipline, getting alone and hearing what God will say to you through the Scriptures, through His conviction, through His pressing upon you, and that still small voice that speaks in your heart. You had one that ran and hid and rejected the Word, and then you had another that said, here I am, Lord. He steps up. You send me. You fulfill your plan in my life. I was listening to Joyce Meyer the other morning, and I can't even remember what she was teaching on, but she used this phrase and I loved it. She said, we hang a big do not disturb sign over our lives. We hang this big do not disturb sign over our lives. And then I started taking notes and I wrote this down. I call it comfort zone Christianity. We live this comfort zone Christianity where we say, Lord, here are my plans. You bless them. Lord, this must be what you want. You bless it. And we totally block out Jeremiah 33:3 when God is trying to show us great mighty things that we know not and we've not even thought of. God is trying to bring into our lives wonderful things that we know not and we've not even thought of. Plans for our lives. I tell folks all the time, for the first 23 years of my life, if you rank occupations 1 to 100, number 100 would be a pastor or a teacher of the Word of God. There are 99 other things I'm sure I would have chosen. But God spoke clearly to me when He began speaking to me, and I praise God I was at a place in my life where I listened. But that's what God has. We need to learn to recognize the voice of God. You hear the voice of God at salvation, and you are to hear the voice of God after salvation. Go to John chapter 10. You wouldn't believe how many verses are dedicated to hearing the voice of God. Hearing the voice of God. John chapter 10, verse 2. The Good Shepherd tells us this. But he that enters in by the door into the sheepfold, where the herd of sheep have been put up, is the true shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. That's Hebrews chapter... Where are we at? Hebrews chapter 12. See that you hear the word of God. Personally, he calls them out. They know him by name. Verse 4, and when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. You can't follow God if you don't know his voice. We're blown around with winds of doctrine. We're blown around with opinions. We're blown around with what we hear on the 6 o'clock news. I heard someone tell me during COVID, they said, Brother Leo, it just all comes down to who you're going to believe. You got one group that's going to believe this news channel. You got one group that's going to believe this news channel. And it all comes down to who you choose to believe. And that's the truth. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know about news channels, but I'm going to choose to believe Jesus. He's above all that. I believe we can take in everything, but we need to choose to believe Jesus and believe that we're going to hear the voice of God. He knows us by name. He knows every situation we're going to run into. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. I want to feed in the pasture that God has for me. I want to follow Him to the pasture He has for me. It's not that you go off in this pasture and say, God, make the grass grow. He's got places in life for you, relationships in life for you, but you got to hear the voice of God. Go to verse 27. And here we go again. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, I want you to go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And I'm going to repeat what I told you a few moments ago. And then I'm going to bring this all the way to the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 10. Everyone who has ever been saved, there came a moment in your life when you heard the voice of God and you said yes. And by faith, you were saved and you entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Personally, you became indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So Romans 10 verse 17 says this. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For you to have faith, you've got to hear. For you to have faith to believe in Christ, you've got to hear. For you to have faith to believe in Christ, you've got to hear about Christ. In verse 13 it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed or entrusted? And how shall they believe in him if they've not heard about him? And how are they going to hear unless someone proclaims him? And how are they going to preach or proclaim unless they be sent to bring glad tidings of good things? But they have not all obeyed the gospel. So there are those that obey and receive what is said unto them. And there are those that reject what is said unto them. And I think one of the huge things you've got to understand, you want to be hearing the truth of God and not the teachings of man. You want to make sure you can discern between the two. Because the religion in America and throughout the world are filled with the teachings of men that are correct. Jesus and the Word of God is true. And you always want to be able to discern that. And you never want to run from it. And I say unto you again, you challenge everything that comes out of this pulpit. You make sure it passed the test of you and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and the Scriptures. And anything coming out of any other pulpit needs to be challenged by those that are listening and those that hear. You need to make sure you are hearing God. So all of this, they heard and they responded. So you hear God speak to you. Jesus is the Savior. You need Him. You need forgiveness of your sin. And He'll come into your life as the Lordship authority and the Savior of your soul. Now, I want to show you something else about the voice of God in the age and in the dispensation in which we live. So go to Romans chapter 8. If you've ever been saved, you've heard the voice of God and you've said yes. I'm going to set this one up, so I'll take my time. If you've ever been saved, you've heard the voice of God and you've said yes. After you said yes, you've heard the voice of God again. And that's in Romans chapter 8. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, it says this, for you have not received the spirit of bondage. You don't get saved by going back in the law. All right? You don't get saved by the law, the spirit of bondage. He sets this up throughout Romans. You don't get saved by the spirit of bondage, which is the Mosaic law. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with your spirit, your heart, the place created by you, for you by God, into which the Holy Spirit enters, and you have a relationship relating between you and Jesus. The Spirit Himself bears witness or testifies with our spirit that we are now a child of God. When you say yes to God, the Holy Spirit enters your heart and the voice of God says to you, you're saved. You're one of mine. You are a child of God now. It's all about the voice of God. He says, you are now saved. And you get filled with peace. As Lehman always says, he feels all those weights lifted off of him. Anybody that's ever been saved is going to explain it the same way. Hey, I'm there now. I've made it. Christ has saved me. The Holy Spirit speaks that to your heart and says you are now a child of God. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. And you hear the voice of God before you get saved. You hear the voice of God after you say yes. Go with me to John 16. Look at how Jesus explains the Holy Spirit. Look at what he says. In John chapter 16, verse 13, the Lord says this, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he hears, that shall he speak unto you, and he will show you things to come." He's going to speak the truth. He's going to speak unto you. He's going to guide you. So Jesus describes the Holy Spirit when he is in you as the inner voice of God speaking unto you. And the Hebrew writer says, "Refuse not him that speaks." Peter says it's just as powerful as the voice he heard out of heaven. In 2 Peter, he said, "We heard the voice out of heaven, but you have a more sure word of prophecy." That's 2 Peter 1, 16 through 21. I'm not going to take you there today. That shines as a light in a dark place, the Scriptures. The voice of God that Peter heard has now been written down in this book we call the Bible. And that's what Peter says. Those Scriptures are just as divinely inspired, just as powerful, just as truthful as the voice we heard out of heaven. And so you've got this 1-2 punch. You've got the Word of God, and you've got the Holy Spirit in your heart speaking unto you in conjunction. Conviction, guidance, comfort, warning. And so we need to listen or hear the voice of God. Go back to Hebrews chapter 3. You're going to, here's the warning. And then I'll show you some examples in Acts and we'll close out. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 7, it says this. And this is specifically speaking to the Hebrews here. We've been studying this for a few months now, I guess. We may be here till the Lord comes back. I've never taught this book as I began my 40th year today. And I love it. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 7 says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart." And there it is again. If you, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Verse 15, while it is said, "Today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. For some, when they heard, did provoke Moses, but not all of them, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses." So some of them made it out, some of them didn't. And it all came down to listening to the voice of God. Whether you're in God's will today depends on whether you're listening to the Word of God. You may be out of God's will. You have individual decisions you need to make. And to make the correct one, you need to hear the voice of God. And you need to receive that overwhelming peace. Go with me to Acts chapter 9. Look at what Paul says about hearing the voice of God. And then in Acts 22, he gives you some more details about it. In Acts chapter 9, verse 3, as Paul journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him. He heard a voice audibly. Now, I don't hear an audible voice. I have an inner voice that speaks to my heart like yours. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, and you're kicking against the flow or going against what I'm trying to do in your life. So what I want you to understand, if you've ever been saved, you've heard that voice saying, I am Jesus, Leo. I am the Savior of the world. I've come here to be your Savior, and you need me. Don't reject me. Turn unto me. But notice what he says in Acts 22. Go with me to Acts 22, how personal it was. In Acts 22, he's giving his testimony. And in verse 7, he says, I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? That's John chapter 10. I know my sheep. I know them by name. They hear my voice. You can put your name in there. And I answered, who art thou? And he said unto me, me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spoke to me. I want you to understand something. I'm not going to hear what God says unto you. You're not going to hear what God says unto me, but you're responsible for what God says unto you, as I'm responsible for what God says unto me. I want you to understand, my family and my loved ones depend on me hearing what God has to say unto me. People that you are responsible for are tied to. You need to be attuned to the voice of God if you're going to help them in life, if you're going to be there for them in life. So the other men didn't hear the voice because he wasn't speaking to the other men. He was speaking unto Jesus. Jesus was speaking unto Paul alone. And then Paul, like Isaiah, says, okay, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said, arise and go to Damascus, and more will be told unto you. We need to listen for the voice of God. We need to hear God speaking to us and moving unto us. And we need to be submissive unto the voice of God. What is it that you would have me do, Lord? Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Have you ever prayed that prayer? What is it that I'm to do, Lord? Here I am, 63, Lord. Here I've been doing this now. I've begun 40 years, Lord. What is it that you would have me to do? Sometimes he may just say, continue doing what you're doing. I will continue to empower you, embolden you to do what you're doing. You might be in a relationship. You need to say, Lord, speak to my heart. Is this the relationship I need to be in? What are the plans that you have for me, Lord Jesus? Speak to my heart. He speaks specifically. For Paul, it was conversion. It was salvation. Go with me to Acts chapter 7. Look what Stephen says about Moses when he's preaching the sermon in which he is going to lose his life. And in Acts chapter 7, verse 29, Moses was seen by an Egyptian killing an Egyptian who was whipping a Jewish person. And he got in a fight with him and killed him. And so he felt like he would be brought up for murder, so he ran. Then fled Moses at this saying when the Egyptian confronted him. And was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared unto him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai a messenger of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. And when Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him. There are times, Cameron, God's got to get our attention before he can speak to us. Has to slow us down. Bring us to a place where we're going to listen. So sometimes there has to be a burning bush to get you to quit tending the sheep and take a moment where you can hear God. We have more conveniences than ever. Is that not astounding? I know that y'all picked cotton. I was with someone the other day. No, I heard a lady interviewed down in Phoenix City, Alabama, on a television show, and she was talking about picking cotton and then working in the mill. We spoke Wednesday night about how it said God the Father perfected his son through suffering. Even though he was a son, his child, God chose suffering to mature him to fulfill his purpose in life. And I said in today's culture, our goal is to make life as easy as we can for our children. Total opposite of how God the Father worked. Because Patty was commenting, we saw a situation in a ball game where a guy got hit in a bad spot. And I said, that must be the first time he ever got hit there because he was rolling around hollering and screaming. I said, he'll figure it out. He was a young fellow, Little League World Series. And she goes, well, how old were you the first time you got hit there? I said, I was probably two. No, she said that, two? Now I said, no, Patty, but I got bucked off a horse at three. Said I got drugged through the woods hunting hogs at eight. She goes, it's a wonder your mama didn't kill your daddy the way he raised you. I said, I guess he's trying to make me tough, Patty. To make it where I could get out in life and make it on my own. You know, we grew up in that kind of a culture. Now it's make it as easy as you can on little Johnny and Susie. And when it drops below 32 degrees, they melt because they're snowflakes. God perfected. I praise God for the discipline. I praise God for the hard times. 12 years old, I was pulling wire under those houses in Charleston for my uncles who were electricians. Rats and snakes and dirt. I didn't know anything. That's the only thing I was trained to do. But I could take a electrical wire and I could crawl from the front of the house to the back of the house in downtown Charleston. Those houses were 200 years old. There were some old rats and snakes under them houses. One rat had a Confederate uniform on. I had to tell him. The war is over. We lost. But I look back on it now and I praise God. You praise God. But sometimes God has to get your attention. And so he got his attention. He heard the voice. And look at what God says in verse 32. I am God. I'm the God of your fathers. And then in verse 33 he said, Lord, the Lord said to him, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. And then in verse 34 he said, I have seen the affliction of my people, and now I'm going to send you unto Egypt. My friend, you're never going to know what God wants to do with your life if you're not hearing the voice of God. And that's a huge thing. But let me show you something else. Let me show you Peter. Go with me to Acts chapter 10. Peter had a situation in life. You ever have a situation in life? And he was in error. But he'd been raised a certain way. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 9, it says this. It said, on the morrow as they went on their journey and drew nigh into the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, 12 noon. And he became very hungry and he fell into a trance and he saw a vision of heaven opening and all the animals coming down in a sheep. And in verse 13, a voice came to him and said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord. He recognized it as the Lord's voice. For I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. So Peter, who had held the Mosaic dietary laws all his life, couldn't eat certain foods. He couldn't go to the Gentiles because he was told they were unclean as they were under the law. But God was changing things. And in verse 15, the voice of God spoke unto him, the Lord, the second time, and said, what God hath cleansed, call not thou common. And this he did three times. And while Peter was doubting in himself what he'd seen and heard, the men from Cornelius came and knocked on his door. And Peter thought on the vision, and the Spirit said to him in verse 19, "Arise and go with them, and don't doubt anything." You got a situation in your life, you don't know whether to turn left nor to right. You need to get along with the Lord and hear Him. And then the Lord will build on it, and He'll send somebody by or open a door, and you'll know, hey, I didn't understand when He first said this, but now I understand it now, and you'll know what direction to go into. All these personal experiences with the voice of God, personal experiences, giving us direction, guidance, certainty, validity. Through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit spake unto Peter. The voice from heaven spake unto Peter. We have the Word of God that Peter didn't have in completion. We have the Holy Spirit speaking unto us. We've got Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. The Word of God is life-giving, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces and penetrates between the soul and spirit, and it divides and sorts out our motives and our intents and our true self. And the voice of God speaks to us through His Word and through His Spirit, that inner voice. Refuse not the voice of God. I've done it. I've run and hit. I've not just wanted to have the conversation. But what do you mean? I just don't talk. There have been times in my life I just didn't talk to God about certain things. Just didn't want to deal with it. Didn't want to hear the truth. Can't handle the truth. Truth might mean I got to move and leave Brevard and move to Wayne County. Truth might mean I've got to leave my hometown of Charleston and move to Brevard. Truth might mean I need to quit my job without a church, with two quarter horses and a small farm and a new wife, with no seminary degree. But I'll look back on all those situations, and I may have delayed, but praise God, I finally listened. Because once you listen and say, "Okay, Lord, here I am, send me," God leads you to greater and greater and greater and greater blessings. And then you can turn that thing around and say, "Thank God for unanswered prayer." When you've asked God for things or relationships or situations in life, and God wouldn't give it to you, and you'd throw your little tantrums, and now you look back on it and you say, "Man, thank you, Jesus, for not letting that come about in my life." But we're to hear the voice of God. I want to close out with one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 29. I'm going to read it to you the way I study it and the way I've read it for years. And this is where we'll close. I skip the first two and the last two verses, and then I come back to them at the end and praise. And as I'm reading this to you, I'm going to add into it the way I read it. In Psalm 29, verse 3, it says this: "The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon many waters." The voice of the Lord is upon the waters, and that same voice speaks to my heart. And then I pause and ponder that. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty, and that same voice speaks to my heart. The voice of the Lord breaks in half the cedar trees. Yea, the Lord breaks those huge cedars of Lebanon, and that same voice will speak to my heart. The voice of the Lord makes to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord can shake my heart, my spirit, my mind. The voice of the Lord makes the hinds to calve. The voice of the Lord discovers the forest. And in His temple does everyone speak of His glory. And then I go back to verse 1 and I say this. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. In verse 10, the Lord sits upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sits King of the earth forever. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. And then I read, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The glory of the Lord thundereth upon many waters. And the voice of the Lord speaks to my heart. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And I'm just going to ask you to say, Lord, here I am, speak to me. Sometimes we have to confess, Lord, there's an area in my life I hadn't had a conversation with You about. I know it's not You, it's me. You're willing, ready, and able to speak to me about all things in my life. So Lord Jesus, please speak to my heart. Let me bring this before You. Let that inner voice of Your Holy Spirit move upon my mind and my heart. Bring thoughts to me, Jesus. Show me something in Your Word. Speak to me in Your Word. And Father, let me speak out loud and maybe in my own voice. You'll answer my question. You'll guide me in this dilemma or these choices or this decision. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would You take a few moments and seek the voice of the Lord to speak to your heart and make a commitment to do this through the week in your quiet time alone with Jesus? Would You pray that prayer? Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus.